Paul is getting towards the end of his epistle here, and it is with great urgency that he is presenting his final thoughts. And this morning I've titled our message, Necessary Battle Equipment. Necessary Battle Equipment. Last week we noticed that the believer is in a great battle, that there is a spiritual battle that is going on in his life as he engages in the world around him, that he is stressing to us through this epistle that we should take great fervor in watching our souls, watching our hearts, and making sure that we're prepared ahead of time for the battle that we are facing spiritually. And last week, as we were together in Ephesians 6, we noticed four aspects of preparing for the battle. That we are to be strengthened in the Lord. Secondly, that we're to put on the armor of God. We're to, thirdly, know the enemy. And then number four, prepare to stand. And these things need to be in the forefront of our mind daily, that we're prepared for the spiritual battle that we are engaged in. The Christian life is not an easy road. It is a road with which we are engaging in battle, and we are to fervently and urgently be walking in the Spirit and be walking in His truth. Just this past week, I was talking with someone who was describing the struggle that he was facing in some areas of his life, and he said, I know the truth, but then I want to do this. My flesh wants to do this. And we understand that. We relate to that because in our own lives, we have this battle. And we have to be prepared to face this great battle that we face daily. And the only way we can do right and walk right is if we're walking with Him and we're in His Word and we're being filled with the Spirit of God. And that is to be on the forefront of our mind as well, that in preparation for this battle daily, we must daily be dependent upon the Lord, that it's the only way we will have victory. And as I was talking with this person, I tried to encourage him that tomorrow is a new day to begin that battle again. Go back to the Lord, go back to His Word, and then seek His help once again. This morning, as we look at necessary battle equipment, we're going to identify the equipment that is needed for this spiritual battle that we face. But before we look at those descriptors of the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, I want us to notice a couple of verses here in Romans chapter 13. Because in Romans chapter 13, we find that really putting on the armor of God is essentially putting on Christ daily. Let's notice here Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Notice verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. You see, as we look at the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, we recognize here in Romans chapter 13 that we are actually putting on Christ, that we need Him to fill us with His Spirit, that we are seeking to guard our hearts and prepare for this battle by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here in verse 14, and then make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We cannot engage in the battle of the Christian life unless we prepare. We cannot seek to not fulfill the lust of the flesh unless we are putting on Christ daily. Unless we are communing with Him, spending time in His Word, we cannot be prepared for the battle. And it is, again, far too easy for believers to think, I've got my bases covered. It's not that important. I'm doing okay spiritually, and we get lulled into a spiritual apathy where we're not aware of the spiritual battle that we actually are engaged in. And so as we come to Ephesians chapter 6, it is that mindset with which Paul is writing here of this equipment that the believer is to take. And so I invite you to that passage this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, as we look at what it means to take this armor of God and to use it daily in our lives in this spiritual battle. You notice here in Ephesians chapter 6, we'll be looking at verses 14 through 17 this morning. As we've looked at previously, verses 10 through 13, Paul is reminding us of preparing for this battle. In verse 14, he says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Notice in verse 14, Paul says, "Stand therefore." You notice back at verse 11, Paul said that as well. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And so here's this theme Paul is continually bringing about, and he says, "Stand therefore." Don't allow an inch in your spiritual walk to set you back away from the Lord. It's the urgency of the battle, that we would be spiritually alert to hold on to our position, that we would make sure that we're aware and we're anticipating that we will be immovable when the attacks come. Why is it that we often fall to the flesh? It's because we have not been ready to stand before that attack comes. Every believer is to stand against this spiritual one that is seeking to destroy him through Satan and his work. Often in battle, soldiers would line up next to each other so that they could hold the front lines, to hold the enemy off. And that's the picture of what Paul is giving here. Stand therefore, hold your ground. It's another picture, again, as we look at this armor, of this military imagery that Paul is using to show the spiritual ramifications of the one who is seeking to hold off and hold his ground spiritually. A good soldier of Jesus Christ seeks to maintain his position. He seeks to be fervent in his life so that he is grounded and firmly rooted when the attack comes. And that doesn't just happen when we're young. That happens throughout our life, that we daily are to stand so that we're ready in the time of battle. We have here in verses 13 through 17 the list of these pieces of armor that are to be put on. And really, as we look at these pieces of armor, they are spiritual truths that the believer should be putting on daily. And these come as he communes with God, and he recognizes that these things should be in the forefront of his heart and in his mind in preparation for the battle of the day. And so we're going to look at these together. Notice number one in verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth. This is the picture of the belt, and the belt was a rather large belt, about 6 inches in width there. As they put that belt on, and they would tie up their loose clothing so that nothing would be caught or prevent them in the time of battle from being hindered, that they would use that belt to kind of tie things together, and it would shore up the loose strings of the material. And usually, the soldier made sure that that was one of the first things he did in preparing for the battle. He would put that belt on and make sure that everything was taken care of, as far as there were no loose opportunities for things to get snagged or to catch as he moves his weaponry around. But it would be the first step that he would take. Notice how Paul describes it here in verse 14. He says, having your loins girt about with truth. The idea here is that the believer is to put on truthfulness in his life. He's to have a sincere commitment in being truthful to win the spiritual battle. How does truthfulness come? And where does the attack come? And why do we need truthfulness in our life as we look at this piece of armor? We know that Satan is attacking our minds. He seeks to attack our minds and draw our thoughts in a wrong direction. And again, as I was talking with someone this week, he was saying, I have these battles in my mind where I want to do right, but then I start thinking. And this battle becomes very real when we stop and we look at it and we recognize we must put on the mind of Christ, Philippians chapter 2. We need the mind of Christ to be able to have a life that is pleasing to Him today. We fight by knowing the Word of God. We know the truthfulness of the Word of God, and we're prepared in battle by knowing His truth and being prepared so that when the attack comes, we know the Scripture, we know the Word of God, we know the truth of God's Word, and we know our God so that we are armed with that truth. It's important as well that the believer be aware of those things that could lead him astray. Maybe false teaching or some type of opportunity that someone would lead a believer astray in his thinking. In fact, in chapter 4, Paul said that we might not be easily tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. He says the believer is to know the truth of the Word of God, that he can stand in the battle. But this word truth also refers to the quality of truthfulness. The idea being that it takes commitment and self-discipline. It involves an ongoing, growing relationship with the Lord. Doesn't mean perfection, but it means that in essence we're committed to Christ. And I'm growing and I'm striving to know Him. And I should be knowing Him more this month than I did last month, and today than the day before. And it's this process of knowing the truth of God's Word that helps the believer to stand in battle. Again, the picture is one of communion with the Lord and having put on Christ, Romans 13, that we looked at, that we would not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This was a necessary piece of battle equipment. The soldier recognized that he needed that belt to be prepared by just having everything that he had on him shored up, that there would be no snag when he entered into battle. Notice the second piece, verse 14. Again, he says, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. This was a full armor protection for his chest cavity. He recognized that this was something that would be important to protect his heart, his vital organs. It was something that would not allow anything to penetrate and take him by a death blow. It was an important piece that guarded against deadly assaults. And so what does Paul do? Notice again verse 14, he says, put on this breastplate of righteousness. He says that this should be putting on Christ and His righteousness that the believer is to prepare with as he goes into battle. This isn't the righteousness that we find in justification at salvation. No, this is the growing sanctification. This is the righteousness of God that is implemented in the life through holiness and through doing right and living right according to His Word. And so the believer is to seek a life of holiness. He's to seek a life of obedience to Christ. As we think of holiness in Scripture, it shows that God is separate, and that's what the believer should be doing, this picture, that his life should be holier, separated from the world unto Christ. We should be living differently than the world around us. And the believer who takes the breastplate of righteousness is putting on the holiness of God to protect himself from those things that are going to take him down spiritually, or ultimately have a death blow to him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It's a daily cleansing of ourself from the things that tempt us and lead us away from the Lord. We look at our lives. Are we making sure that the things of this world are not sending death blows to us spiritually? It could be the things that we watch, the TV, the computer. It could be the entertainment that we are involved in. Are these things attacking you spiritually and leading you in the way of righteousness or away from the Lord? evaluating our lives. Am I living holy? Is there something I need to take out of my life that is pulling me down spiritually? And it would be far more important to take that part out of your life than to allow it to destroy you spiritually. And Paul says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. This has to be in the forefront of our mind. As we put the breastplate of righteousness, we find joy in the Christian life. We find it pleasurable to live for Christ because we're walking in His truth. We're armed with the right equipment, and there's joy in the believer's life. We find fruitfulness for the Lord. As we put on the breastplate of righteousness and we're walking in His truth, we'll begin to see fruit in our lives spiritually. If we look at our life and we don't see much spiritual fruit, we need to evaluate, am I putting on righteousness daily? Am I walking according to His holiness? This peace also brings God glory. Our lives then can bring the Lord glory. If we are not putting on His righteousness, we cannot bring glory to the Lord. And so Paul is reminding us of this important piece, that they would take this breastplate, that we would take on the righteousness of God. Notice the third piece, verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Roman armor that they would take would include boots that were usually filled with nails at the bottom of those boots, and they would have those nails in there to give them sure-footedness in the terrain that they faced, often a very sandy, sketchy kind of terrain that they would be in, and it would help them to be able to grip the ground very easily. And Paul is saying here that the believer, if he's going to have a sure-footedness, he must put on those proper boots. He must put on the preparation of the gospel of peace, as he describes it here in verse 15. The idea being that believers are not only to move forward in their Christian walk and move forward in truthfulness, but they are to do so with sure-footedness, an anchoring of their soul to God's word and His truth. They're walking in confidence in who God is, so that they can live a life at peace with God. You notice he describes that at the end of verse 15. He says that this is the gospel of peace. Those that do not know the Lord as Savior have no sure-footedness. As we think of going through difficult times in our lives, can you imagine doing that without the Lord? There would be no peace in our life. There's no assurance that God is with us, that He is real, that He saved me from my sin, that He's filling me with His Spirit. They have no peace. And Paul says, as we put on these boots, that we are to do so by putting on the gospel of peace. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He says there is a sure-footedness in who Christ is, that we do not have to fear Satan because we are grounded in our relationship with the true rock of our salvation. We guard ourselves and our hearts with Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 27, make me to understand the way of Thy precepts. He told us back in verse 10, if we look up his admonition in verse 10, was be strong in the Lord. He says it is a life that has his feet headed in sure-footedness because he's anchored in the truth of the Word of God and the gospel that saves men from his sin through Jesus Christ alone. Notice the fourth piece here in verse 16. It is the shield of faith. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The first three pieces that we have listed for us, the belt, the shield, the boots, those were things that had to be in place before the soldier ever left. Those were things that he would be equipped with as he went. They were essential. They were not optional. He had to have those things to head into battle. As we come here to verse 16, we see the picture of this soldier taking something. He takes here the shield, and we see Paul describe it as the shield of faith. This shield, again, would have been something in addition to the breastplate that he would have taken that was maybe 2.5 by 4 feet. It was rather large, and it would protect him in most of his body by that shield that he took with him into battle. And Paul describes it here in verse 16 as the shield of faith that would be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. This is the only piece here that Paul gives its effect. He says, if you take this piece, here's the effect. You can withstand the fiery darts of the wicked. We saw last time as we looked at verse 12, as we saw the enemy and recognized that we need to know the enemy. We saw that Satan is powerful, but that God is all powerful. We saw that Satan has ability, but he is not the one who has all ability. And so as we look at verse 16 at the end here, he says that this shield would protect us from the fiery darts of the wicked. He says we can have victory if we're taking this shield of faith. This idea of faith here is that it would extinguish all the flames of arrows of the evil one that are thrown against the believer. That he's able to utilize this with the Lord's help and be able to ward off those attacks that come. We see this in other passages of Scripture, other verses as well that talk about our faith referring to our complete trust, our anchoring of our soul to the Lord. That our trust in the Lord is so great that we are able then to stand for Him. Proverbs 9, verse 10 describes this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. He says, take the shield of faith. Have trust that God would help you when those fiery darts come your way. When we try to justify sin or allow sin to enter into our life, we are allowing Satan to have the victory. And Paul admonishes us to take the shield of faith so that it does not come in and does not penetrate the heart, but it protects us from those temptations and those things that are going to lead us astray from the Lord. Notice the fifth piece in verse 17. He says, take the helmet of salvation. I think this would have been an important piece as well. As you headed into battle, you'd want to make sure that your helmet was on. Maybe with your children, you insisted that they take their helmet before they go onto their bicycle because you want to make sure that your head is protected. It's a very important piece. And the helmets that they would have made in those days would have been wrapped in heavy leather. They would have taken some metal to bind those things together, and it would protect their cheeks and their jaw as well so that they could have full protection from anything that would penetrate to the head that might lead them to a very poor physical state if a blow were to enter. And it might not have been a piece that was very comfortable. It might have been very hot underneath that helmet. It might not have been very comforting to have metal and leather wrapped around your head, but it was essential. It was something that he could not enter battle without. He needed to have it. And Paul says here at the end of this phrase, he says, take the helmet of salvation. And I think what Paul is emphasizing here is that there's security and assurance when you are in Christ. that there's nothing that can take you away from having that assurance. If you know him as your Savior, there is nothing that can take that away. But instead, as he stands strengthened in the Lord, he has that confidence and that security in the Lord. Again, sometimes Satan wants to give us some blows by showing us the past failures that we've had. And he wants to show us different things that can discourage us spiritually. And just taking our eyes off of Christ and looking around, he sends another blow to us. And he takes our heart and our eyes away from the Lord. And Paul is saying, no, have assurance and confidence in the Lord. That as we put on that helmet of salvation, to know that Christ is in us, to know that we can have victory with him, that when the temptation comes, we would be focused on the Lord. Notice the last piece, the sixth piece here in verse 17. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Again, the sword, this picture of the soldier taking this offensive weapon. He was not only equipped with things that would protect him in his vital organs, to his head, to his feet, having sure-footedness, but he would take that sword and that spear, and he would be prepared for battle. It was a short, two-edged sword that would be used for cutting and thrusting, and he could use it on either side to wield out the enemy that he was facing. And Paul describes it here as the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God's Word is a weapon for the believer. He takes the truth of the Word of God. He takes the Word of God. We saw last week that Jesus, when he was tempted, took Scripture to respond to those temptations. And the believer takes the Word of God both defensively and offensively. He can use it as that sharper than two-edged sword, that picture there for us. He can use it to wield off the attacks of the wicked. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 describes the Word of God as being quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so the Word of God is the piece of armor that the believer should have in hand. Not the philosophy of man, not the thoughts of man, not the teaching of some person who has a lot of degrees behind his name. No, he takes the Word of God, and he takes that Word of God, and he uses it to stand for the Lord. Paul is saying we must be prepared for battle, and we must use the necessary equipment in the battle. The local church is given the picture in the New Testament as the army of God, that we are soldiers of Christ, and we've sung some of those hymns the last couple of weeks because it ties in with a greater picture here, that not only are we to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that we are the army of God. And that as each of us in this local church are arming ourselves with the right equipment, we then can stand and do what is right. We can together walk in the Lord's ways. I often think of our church, 160 years next year. And there were believers throughout all of those years who were standing for the truth of God's word and seeking to do what is right, and we are the beneficiaries of it. And what a humbling thought that is. But it's a testimony to the fact that we are the army of God, that each of us are to be good soldiers prepared for battle with the right equipment, and that collectively as the body of Christ, we should be standing in truth in the Word of God, living out that truth in a practical way in our lives, and proclaiming that truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who do not know him. This morning, are you outfitted well for the battle? Are you taking the pieces that we have here that Paul describes into your daily battle? Are you putting on Christ, as Romans chapter 13 describes, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ that you fulfill not the lusts of the flesh? That's how we have victory. That's how, by God's grace, we can have a life that is pleasing to the Lord. That is how, by God's grace, we do not fall when temptations come. And we cling to the grace of God by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ for the battle that we face. Shall we pray together? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is sufficient for all things. And we thank you this morning for this great reminder that we would have the right equipment. Oh Lord, the Christian walk is not an easy road, but Lord, it is a spiritual battle. And we know, Lord, that Satan is seeking to destroy. But how we pray that we would be fit soldiers of Jesus Christ, that we would be the army of God that is prepared to stand against the spiritual battle. Oh Lord, we pray that if there's one here this morning that does not know you as Savior, that you would show them their need to turn from their sin, that you sent Christ to die on the cross to pay the penalty for their sin if they would repent and put their faith and trust in you. And Lord, we pray for each believer that's here this morning, that we would seriously recognize the importance of the battle that we are engaged in. That if we do not put on Christ, if we do not cling to the grace of God, we will fall. But Lord, we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We know that we can have victory through Christ. And so, Lord, we pray that this week we would walk according to your word, that we would be a testimony of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.